was not here last week? No! Okay, well, you missed a lot of good stuff. So if you weren't here last week, that's okay. You guys, like, you can always go, like, online if you really want to listen to it. I thought last week was pretty darn good, personally. Not because I was preaching it, but because I learned some stuff, too. Anyway, if this is your first week here, if you weren't here last week, then you probably missed the fact that we're talking about guys and girls and sex and dating and, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes with it. It's kind of like, you know, well, we're not scandalous or anything like that because we church, you know. but we're trying to keep things, you know, kind of keep things kosher, keep things Jesus-filled, you know. But we're not pulling any punches with it. So that's what we're going to get into again today. We're going to talk about more of this kind of stuff. So if you guys got your Bibles, you better break them open. If you guys didn't, we're going to put the verses up there, but you know, bring them next week. As a matter of fact, you know, here's the thing. There's like a lot of ways to live life. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's like a lot of choices. Some choices good, some choices bad, you know. Some choices are kind of like in the middle of it. But with your life, man, you got one life to live or something like that, right? So if you're anything like me, you want to make the best choices possible. So that's what we're doing. As a matter of fact, even to the point like where I have like, you know, we have a bookstore at the church and stuff. So if, as you guys are leaving, there's like a little table set up with like books and like dating advice and Jesus stuff and everything. We even have like little, because we're going to do like a commitment and stuff like that. So even like little rings and stuff like that. If you guys want to buy like a commitment ring or something like that, a purity ring or whatever, you guys can even get down on some of that stuff too. So as a matter of fact, okay, let me ask real quick an unscientific survey. Does anybody in this place like to read? Anybody like to read? All my people here? Okay, good. So if I gave a book away, somebody would be excited about that? Like, does anybody want a book? Okay, in the back. Wayne, you're old. Myra, psh, you guys talk to Pastor Luke. You guys go to shift. Anyway, so of all my people here, if I gave a book away, who wants it? Who? Okay, all right. Now I'm only going to give it to somebody who's going to read it, though. So who's really going to read it? Now, more people got it. Okay, now this book is called When God Writes Your Love Story. Oh. All right. Okay, first, Dan, you're standing. Okay, here's what I got to do. I don't know how to choose. I didn't expect this many people to like reading. I'm not, no offense or anything. I just didn't. Oh, man. Okay, here. You're sitting close to the front row, so I'm going to get you. There you go. Let's give it a. Oh. Here's what we'll do. I'll give away another book next week. I only have so many books, right? So if you guys want, there's like a bunch of that and other ones, too, that are a lot more scandalous than When God Writes Your Love Story. So you got to read it. Are you going to read it? You better read it. Tell me how it is. I haven't read that one yet. I'm living it. Anyway, that was pretty good. Wait. So actually, speaking of when God writes your love story, I have an announcement. Can I make an announcement to you guys real quick? I want you to meet somebody. It's brand new. So they're here in person, but I'd rather show you a picture of somebody because you can't meet them exactly just yet. But Adam, you want to go show me a picture of my person I want you to meet? He or she doesn't yet have a name, but my wife is expecting, as am I. So, I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm pregnant, so. But that little fellow right there is bouncing around in her tummy right now, so anyway, so. I wanted to tell you guys. I just didn't know how, so I figured, well, I'll just tell you guys. So anyway, yeah, we're going to have another one. As if my first two kids aren't crazy enough, we decided to have another one. So I don't know. This might be the end of it, though, so I don't want to go bald or nothing. But since it is Love Month, I figured I'd tell you guys about the love of my life. And so anyway, that's exciting. Just don't rub her tummy. My wife hates that, so don't do that. I should punch you. But anyway, okay, I think that's all the announcements. You guys ready to get in the Word today? All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into this thing. If you guys got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter as we go to the Lord in prayer. Okay. Father God, Lord, we thank you. God, you know, we thank you, Father, of all the things. Gosh, I mean, Lord, we've already done so much. Lonely Sasha, lonely us in his place, some of us, these announcements, all these things, God, Father, but tonight, Lord, we acknowledge that we need your word. We need to know what you know about the subject of relationships, God. I mean, of all the things that people do, of all the things we've seen, of all the things we've put ourselves through, Father God, of all the hurt that we've experienced, Lord, we want to know how to do this your way. And Father, for those of us, maybe we know your word, we want to know your word better so we can live life as it was supposed to be lived. So Father, tonight we ask that you'd open our ears, you'd open our eyes. And God, that tonight our hearts would be like clay and putty inside of your hands, that you would mold us into the man or the woman you've created us to be. So Lord, tonight we surrender our ideas to your ideas. Lord, lead us, guide us in the way we're supposed to go tonight. God, as we pray these things, we also pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire. Father God, you know, regardless of the denomination, God, they love you just like we love you. So Father, we ask that you bless Trinity, you bless San Bernardino Community, Father God, the Wildwood, Father God, that you'd bless Emmanuel Baptist, God, you'd bless them over at Shadrach over there, like whoever they are, God, if they're talking about you, Jesus. God, we ask that you'd bless them because we acknowledge that, hey, we're all in the same family. Talking about the same Jesus. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Boy meets girl, part two. Today, if you're taking notes, because I know you are, if you needed to write another explanatory note, today we're talking about losers and being a loser magnet. Well, I guess you could say more accurately, not being a loser magnet. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, as I look out into this room, that's jacked up. You might be changing my statement right now. I don't see any losers. I don't think I'm hearing any. But I don't... All right. We'll find out which one you are in a little bit. But I don't... Because see, here's the thing. I don't think it's nice to call people losers. But here's the thing. Is a lot of times we act like losers. You can give me an amen for that one. All right. Or you know people who act like losers. All right, that was a stronger amen. But see, and I don't think any of you guys in this room are losers because see, a loser is only a loser because they choose not to change. I mean, the truth is, if we really want to get into it, we're all losers. Okay, we're all pretty crummy people. I mean, if there's a picture of you on the internet, it'd probably have like that little plaid hat with the brown. You know what I mean? Anyway, never mind. But the truth of the matter is if God's changing us, then we're not a loser. We're on our way to becoming a better person. We're on our way to becoming who God created us to be. The only thing that makes a person a fool, a loser, the only thing that makes a person stupid is the fact that they know what they're supposed to do and they don't change. So today, at the end of this service, you can choose whether you're going to be a loser or not. Because you'll know what God expects of us, what God expects us to look for in a relationship in a better way. Now, we won't have all the answers, but we'll have more than we had before. So tonight, find out which part of tonight's talking about you. Tonight, find out which part of tonight's talking about the people you know and make a decision to change. Say, God, all right, I know where I need help in, so make me a better person because I don't want to be a loser. I want you in my life to change me and rearrange me. You see, most of us in this room, in this place, are looking or will be looking for Mr. Right or Ms. Right. You know what I'm saying? You're looking for that person, right? I mean, that's what this whole world is after, is looking after that person to like, you know, to be with. That's what songs are about. They're about relationships. I mean, in a really jacked up way, but that's what they're about. And the challenge is finding that person. I mean, how do you get the right guy? How do you get the right girl in your life? I mean, how do you get the person to complete you? Although that's not really what's supposed to happen. But how do you get that one person to see eye to eye? Your cuddle bunny forever and ever. You know what I'm saying? How do you find that person? Has anybody ever dated a jerk before? No, don't raise your hands. You guys are all mean. Anyway, how do you make sure you don't end up with another jerk? Because a relationship is two ways, right? You can be the perfect person, but if you end up with the unperfect person, then all of a sudden it jacks everything up. Or maybe you find a perfect person, but you're the jacked up one and you mess them up. And you're the loser. No, you're not. I mean, how do you make it work? Because it takes two to tango, right? So if we figure out how this whole thing works, then you can attract the right people because you attract what you're looking for. I mean, depending on what bait you're putting out there, depends on what kind of animal you're going to find. Know what I'm saying? I mean, it's true. So if you find yourself attracting all the losers, maybe it's time to change your bait. Maybe it's time to hide some of your bait. You know what I'm saying? All right. you get the wild animals out there. All right, so Let's get into this before I get in trouble. 1 Thessalonians 4. If you were here Sunday night, which was very fun, this is where I was on Sunday night. It says, finally, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God. He says, don't be stupid. Know what God wants from you. Know what God says. He says, abound more and more in knowing about God. You know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus? For this is the will of God. Okay, cool. It's the will of God. No mystery or anything here. What's the will of God? Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Okay, so then this really shouldn't be a surprise, but God expects us to have a sexual life that honors him. Now, I know that sounds weird, like sexual life honoring God. How does that one work? Well, look, God made it, so you do it God's way. And God's way says inside of a married relationship, that's how it's supposed to work. If you do it outside of a married relationship, well, then it's broken. If you ever played with a broken toy, it hurts you. It stabs you. It cuts you. It makes you bleed. It doesn't work properly. And that's why people end up with the heartache and the pain that they end up with, because they're trying to enjoy something God made the wrong way outside of the relationship it was designed to be in. Okay, let's go on here. It says, now I want, in verse 4, it says, this is the will of God to abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you, each of us should know how to possess our own vessel, our body, in sanctification. Or that word just means in the right way, in a way that honors God. It says in sanctification and honor, not in passions of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Let me get my table up here with my boxes. I got more boxes for you guys. It says, now this is the way we're supposed to act. Not that nobody should take advantage of and defraud his brother or sister in the matter of sex, in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of such, and we also forewarned and testified you of this. God didn't call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Now, as they're getting this thing set up, they're getting my stuff up here. This is what I'm talking about, is, look, if you're not married and you're messing around with somebody, that person doesn't belong to you. You know, the Bible says that when you get married, and a husband and wife, the wife belongs to the husband belongs to the wife. But if you're a single person, thank you. If you're a single person and you start messing and fooling around with somebody, well, that person, in a sense, they belong to God. So you're not just sleeping with this girl that you know. You're sleeping with God's daughter. And if God treats his daughters anything like I treat my daughter is the reason I want to buy a gun. A big gun before they're outlawed. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I'm talking about. See, and the Bible says that when we begin to abuse each other, you take advantage, you use somebody for your own pleasure, well, all of a sudden it says you're on the wrong side of God's favor, because God avenges people who steal and rob and abuse each other. This is what I'm talking about. See, now a relationship has lots of different aspects, right? Because it's not just, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. It's just not, I mean, there's different levels. I mean, just like you have different friends, you have acquaintances, you have best friends, you have BFFs, you have BFFAEFEFAAs and stuff like that. And you have this whole string of different levels of it. And the same thing happens with a relationship, between a romantic relationship. There's different aspects of it, because you have different aspects of your life, right? See, now, of course, the biggest part is who we are, what we believe, and why we do what we do. Everybody has something for a reason, and that's a spirit. You know, the Bible tells us that you have a body, but the real you, the you that makes you, is your spirit. I know, you think about it for a minute. It's your spirit. It's who you are, what you believe. It's your faith in who God is, and your understanding of that. It's your spiritual part of you. That's you. And then you have this other aspect, especially inside of a relationship, you have the relational aspect. This is the way it worked with my wife and I back many, many millennia ago when we first met. We were like 16 and stuff, and she was dating a dude and I was dating a girl, and that was dumb. But anyway, we met each other at 16 and we were friends. Well, about 16, 17. Yeah, that's right. And And we met each other in church. Matter of fact, we knew each other in church, and what we did is we built a friendship. We had a relationship as friends. Matter of fact, I knew her. I knew her younger sister longer than I knew her. But that's what it was. We were friends. We did stuff at church together. We hung out and stuff like that. So see, any relationship, in a person, you have the spiritual part, and then there's the relationship part, the friendship. You're homies. You're tight. You're close. You share secrets. You fall asleep on the phone together. Because you can't determine who's supposed to hang up first. You know what I'm saying? So there's that relationship aspect of it. And then all of a sudden, there's a social aspect. I remember I started dating my wife before she was my wife. And I remember when I knew that she was the one, the first thing I did before I told anybody is I talked to her dad. Heck yeah, I took her dad and her mom out to ice cream. And I said, Mr. Sandell, I would like to take you to ice cream so I can talk to you, sir. And then, and no joke, I actually had printed out and written up an entire budget and plan for the next 5 years of my life. And I said, sir, I have this plan, this is how much money I make, this is how much I hope one day to possibly make, this is my, And I said, if you want, I print it out, I can show it to you if you'd like. He said, that won't be necessary. And so, anyway, so I must have got him like the right flavor because he said I could. Because see, when you are involved with somebody, it's not just you and them; it's their family, it's their friends. It's a package deal, right? Because if you're going to join yourself to somebody in a relationship or whatever it is, you get everything. That's the way it's supposed to be. Everything, the social aspect of life, and then of course there's the emotional aspect of life. It's the gooey feelings. Oh, they make me feel so wonderful. I just want to dance and twirl. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, gentlemen, you know you ain't going to admit it, but that's how you feel sometimes. The butterflies, the in love part, when she flutters her eyelashes, all of a sudden your heart goes, that the emotional aspect. And then, of course, the physical, bam, chicka, bam, bam. You know what I'm saying? The physical, the holding. I'm sorry. This is why we only do this once a year. There's the physical aspect. Whether it's the kissing, it's the hand holding, the long hugs, it's the tickle fight. The whole thing. It's like everything that kind of comes with it. That whole aspect, that arena, and then even further in it. Now the problem is we have all these different parts and aspects of our lives, but what happens is we end up getting them out of order. You see, a relationship will stand, it will rise, or it will fall based on how you order your relationship, how you approach it. If you put the wrong thing in the wrong priority, then it gets all jacked up, and it's not going to stand. See, if you base your relationship off the wrong things, then you become a loser, or you find yourself stuck in a loser, in a losing relationship. And you see, that's not what God's designed. I mean, look, if you're looking for love, if you're looking for a relationship, you're not going to avoid heartache. Even my wife and I get mad at each other all the time and get angry and stuff like that. And sometimes she hurts my feelings and I cry and I want to punch holes in walls. No, I don't do that. I got to get a dog just so I can kick it. So I'm kidding. But even us, and we have, I think we have a pretty good godly marriage because we're not doing nothing weird or sneaking around, none of that kind of stuff, We're cool. But we still hurt each other. And a relationship that's done the right way will survive hurts and it'll survive storms. But relationships that are done wrong, well they're not going to last. And every relationship has or will have these parts in it. So how do you build the relationship? A lot of times it's built the wrong way. A lot of times the physical aspect comes first. I mean, some people, they don't even get in a relationship to get this box. They're like, hey, I like you, you're cute. How about we just start like making out and, you show me some of them, show me all your beads and we're like, I know we're at a club and you're just wearing a bra and stuff like that and I kind of like that. So how about, anyway, whatever. So, been on Facebook long enough, my friends. So, okay, so you get right to the physical aspect of it. And the problem is, You just can't get this because you come as a whole person. So what happens is all of a sudden you start getting physical and intimate. So what does that, that makes you feel all lovey and bubbly. Bam, and it's looking pretty good right there. But all of a sudden, what about these other ones? These other ones are part of you too. And you just can't have each of these separate. They don't come separate. They only, you can't buy that track. You have to buy the whole album. iTunes knows that. So should you. Okay, so you just don't get track one, you get track two. Oh, snap, somebody can do these other ones because they have to be, okay, how about mom and dad right there, and then my friend, me, and then okay, and then okay, bam, oh, snaps, I got this one to do too. So all of a sudden, here you are. Physical part. Get the emotional part, your social part with your friends, your family, you know, your own interpersonal relationship that you desire or one day need to establish with that person. Then you have the spiritual part of you that's really you, that's part of you that connects with the Lord. And the problem is that, okay, it's standing right now. Granted, don't worry, that was not a mistake. But the problem is that it's very... fragile. And here's even the worst part too, is you see these bottom two ones, they change all the time. What happens if they move away? Well, the physical part's gone. What happens if something, let's just be real, what happens if they get hurt? Or what happens if all of a sudden, you know, they're just not pretty without their makeup? I mean, all of a sudden, if you remove it, well, everything falls. Or what about this? Maybe the physical's really good, but all of a sudden the emotions leave. I hear it all the time. I fell out of love. No, you're just stupid. Because you thought love was an emotion. And all of a sudden, you just don't feel the same way. So all of a sudden it's like, oh. And look, there's no... Remember we talked last week? There's such thing as casual, any of this. Because casual, look, there's no casual emotion. It's always there. So all of a sudden you take it out and everything begins to fall down. I'm not going to make it fall down because I want to pick it up. But anyway. I wasn't trying to do that. But it's the truth. Okay. So, I mean, now look, now I don't, I think we all understand where this is going because we're all smart people in here. But you see, God's designed these things to work in a very specific way to get the best out of it. Because here's how it goes. It is a relationship that's godly has to first rest on the spiritual aspect of things. Because this is the most solid and stable of all of you. We said it, anything that can be shaken will be shaken, and this part can't be shaken. I mean, sure, your faith can waver, and we can have questions. That just happens. But God is who God is, and who you are is who God says you are. And then you have the relational aspect. See, with me and my wife, I think this is why I love my wife so much, because we were friends for 4 or 5 years before we ever dated. We built this part really strong. Because you see, these parts change. But the stronger I build these two parts, the better these parts are supported. Look, having sex every day still is the smallest part of it. And ain't no amount of sex gonna make somebody stay with somebody who's a horrible, horrible person. It's true, right? I mean, I don't care how good it is. It's not worth it. Could people be crazy? See, the social aspect. My wife married my family, and I married her family. Her friends are my friends, and my friends are her friends. The whole package. You see, if you're dating or you're going out with somebody, and you don't want to introduce them into your... If you're embarrassed to introduce them to your mom or your dad... If your friends don't get along with it, then you're going to have a very difficult part here. And when it comes down to it, too, the emotional part comes and goes. There's days where I just don't feel into it. And my wife will tell you the same thing, because I'm a punk sometimes. And sometimes I'm sure she don't feel like she loves me because I didn't take the trash out or whatever the case may be. But see, our relationship isn't based off this. Because I love my wife, because I love Jesus, because we have begun to create a family together, these two things, they'll come naturally. Because I have built, a smart person, a person who's not a loser, will build their life on these things. Because emotions come and go. And let's say the emotion goes away. Okay, well, I still have a pretty good relationship here. Nothing fell over except for this part. But if I keep these together, these will come back in natural order. See, these are the benefit of these. Having the benefit without the responsibility, that's just candy and that'll rot your teeth. You know what I'm saying? See, the Bible says we weren't designed for sexual immorality. We were designed to do this thing God's way, not the world's way. When you do that, you become a thief. And you rob people of their purity. You rob people and break their hearts. And that's not what God's designed us to do. God's designed us to give. See, this is how you don't have a loser relationship. When you find somebody who's willing to go through these steps to get to these steps, like I'm saying, that's why this is gold. It's a prize, sucker. You got to go. You got to pay the price before you get the prize. Shoot. You have to enjoy these, the emotions, the physical aspect, to really enjoy them without pain. You have to go through these steps. Because it's not until you can do these that you are ready and can truly enjoy those. That's God's reward for us. It's, you know, I could tell you STDs and pregnancies. I mean, we all know those things. That's what they teach us in school and stuff like that. But it's something bigger than that. I mean, because a condom won't fix that. Can I say that in here? A condom's not going to fix that. A condom's not going to make this work. It'll keep you from a disease or pregnancy, but it's not going to make that work. I mean, look, marriage counselors don't say, oh, I know how to fix your relationship problems. Here's a condom. It's not going to fix your problem because it's a heart problem that we need to be ready for. See, people who get this stuff mixed up, now I'm gonna make some generalizations. They're not going to fit with everybody. And like I said earlier, you might find you have little pieces of these losers, these loser behaviors in your life. So let's go ahead and go through this real quick. You want to look for and repel, not attract, not magnetize these losers in your life. I'm going to go through these really quick because some verses real quick. So get your pen and stuff ready. These losers are ones you need to avoid. The first loser that gets this stuff all jacked up, I would say is the hero loser. And this is funny because you think, a hero, I want to be a hero. That sounds wonderful. But no, it's not. You see, the hero is a person that's always trying to fix people that don't really want to be fixed. The hero is somebody who sees people who are hurt and thinks, I know, I have the answers for them. I can change him. I can change him into who he's supposed to be. Ladies, that's a good way to get a man to hate you. Okay. Or this is the person who always dates the bad boy. I just like them bad boys. Leather jackets. Ooh. It reminds me a little bit. If you were to put this on a celebrity status, I don't know her, but if you were to put this on, it reminds me of Katy Perry. Okay? God bless her. Great music, whatever. But seriously, John Mayer? Russell Brand? These guys are like, careful. Oh, look at her with her hair and everything. She's. I mean, Russell Brand. I mean, he is like the bad boy of Hollywood. I mean, the guy's drugs and rehab and this and that and weird naked movies. It's just weird, right? And she's going after. And then John Mayer. Look, I don't know. I mean, whatever you like his music, the guy's crazy. Yes. And I don't know if she's trying to fix these guys, but that's what it makes me think of. I'm not judging them or whatever, but that's what it reminds me of. See, we have this well-intentioned idea, but the problem is the hero needs to be needed. The hero needs to be needed. So they put like this emotional aspect as first and foremost. If I date them, then I can fix them. Then they can give me these feelings, and then I can work things out. You know, these are the people who are missionary daters. Maybe if I date him, he'll come to church. If I begin to get with her, then Jesus will really move in her life. Brother, Jesus ain't going to be moving. Your hands are going to be moving, okay? It doesn't work that way. I'm get myself in trouble tonight. Sorry. Galatians 6:1, just give it to me up there. Galatians 6:1, it says this. See, this is the idea, and I understand these are all well-intentioned, but well-intentioned people make bad decisions sometimes when it's based off of the wrong things. If Galatians 6:1, go ahead, give me Galatians 6:1. It tells us this. That's okay, they're going to make me turn there. All right, whatever, I know exactly where it's at. I'm going to beat them too, watch. Dang, what? Seriously? What's wrong with you guys? I'm like joking. Dang it. My pages are really sticky here. Okay. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. But it says this, considering yourself. Go back there. Considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Look, Jesus is the hero. You're not. You can help somebody, but we aren't sent to fix people. Because the problem is we get entangled in these things. And when it says, consider yourself lest you be tempted. You know, don't find yourself going to hell holding somebody's hand. All right? Because that's not what God called us to do. Consider yourself. You don't need somebody that needs you. You need to find somebody that's okay with who they are. It's two whole people make a whole relationship. Two halves of people, well, they make half a relationship with great need that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. So don't be and don't look for these losers. You know, if you find yourself always going towards a specific person, you know what, don't do that. Because there's a need that you're trying to fill that the boy or a girl can't fill, okay? Move on next. It is a person I like to call the Dominator.
The Dominator.
This person's out to be yours. And they're out to make you theirs. You know, now this is a crazy one. Because these people are crazy. They're all crazy, but this one specifically. I think of, I ain't judging him, even though he has bad grammar. But it makes me think of a brother named Chris Brown. Just saying, you know. I know brother cute. But that's some cute poison. Know what I'm saying? Look. I guess I could have even put Drake up there. But it's all the... It's look, man. Look. Now, I don't know the guy. And that's okay. But when I look at the way he's treating his lady. When we see... And then I'm not saying he's a loser. He could be changing. Maybe Jesus got a hold of his heart. Who knows? But you see this, and all of a sudden, a dominator is a person who's manipulative. They're controlling. They want things their way or the highway. Look, they say things like this, is if you break up with me, I'll kill myself. No, but don't tell me whoa, because people say that all the time. They say, I don't know what to do with myself. They'll say, I'll cut myself, or this and that. They say things like this, and they mean well, but they say, you'll never find another person as good as I am. And see, that's all. This stuff is all manipulative. It's all manipulative, guys. It's manipulation. When people hit each other, look. This is what happens when all of a sudden, you know, she says, "I don't like your friends. You need to stop hanging out with them." They were there first, you know. These are the things that a person who wants to dominate over somebody's life is. They're looking for control because they're insecure with themselves. They put the social or the emotional, the physical aspects. You know, they say it's time to take the relationship to the next level, because if I don't know this part of you, I truly won't know all of you. You got to keep that stuff a secret. That's not just for Victoria. You know what I'm saying? Look. These people end up wanting to make themselves feel better. And look, this is some of the stuff that we do sometimes, guys. Look, it's jealousy. Where you been at? It took you 5 minutes to text me. What were you doing? Who were you with? Who is that girl with the red hair? These are the things that a dominator would say. Because they're trying to control everything. They're trying to make everything work out perfectly. Because they're so insecure within themselves. And if that's you or somebody you know, we need to be careful. We got to be careful with these things. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. They're going to put it up there. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. The Bible says this. The Bible describes what love is. And I'll tell you this. This is exactly what love is. Want to race again? I'm going to beat you. And I beat you. Okay, cool. All right. In First Corinthians, it says love suffers long. 1 Corinthians 13:4. You probably heard it before. It says love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, and love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. Lastly, it says love never fails. You see, that's what real love is. But the dominator makes love about them and what they have. They walk over people instead of walking with people. They say things like this. Your friend, whenever you're with your friends, you're so different. I wish you'd just stop hanging out with them. Maybe different isn't bad. Maybe it's a good different. So we've got to watch out for that. The next one is one that I see a lot. It would be, you have the hero, the dominator, then you have the black widow. Or for the men, it's the lady killer. Pew, 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 ah! This is the serial dater. You know what I'm saying? Look, if you're interested in somebody, find out how many girlfriends they've had in the past year. Just saying. How many boys they've been with in the last year? Not to judge nobody. I'm just saying, you can know the lady killer by their fruit. You've got to look at this kind of stuff. Because if it's been 6 months and they've had six girlfriends, or they've been with, I got with six different girls, then obviously there's a commitment problem. They weren't committed to them. Why? What makes you think they'll be committed to you? I'm not saying people can't change, but sometimes change takes a little time. I'm telling you, look, change takes time. And that's not bad. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. If I got issues, I got to work my issues out. So give me a little bit. Don't do the rebound thing. Don't do the rebound thing. If you're after a guy or a girl and they just broke up like within the last month, few weeks with a relationship, wait 2 months. If they're really interested in you, they'll wait for you. If they're just looking for some action, or if they're just looking, or if they're so insecure that they can't wait another month or two without having a relationship, you don't want that juju. Because there's some bad spices in there. I'm telling you guys, wait. Wait, there's no rush. He's cute today, he'll be cute tomorrow. I'm saying this. This is what I found out. I haven't been a Christian too long, been a Christian 16 years. But this is what I found. God's never in a rush. And if God's not in a rush, I shouldn't be either. Especially when it comes to stuff like this, relationships. See, Philippians 2:3 says this. It says, watch out for selfish ambition. It says, esteem others higher than yourself. See, a black widow, the lady killer, they're out for what they can get. They're out for a quick fling. They're out for messing with guys, messing with girls. They're out. This is the one who's always flirting. They flirt with me, so maybe they like me. But who else are they flirting with? Who else are they flirting with? Who else are they sending texts? I mean, who else has that picture? I mean, can we be real in church today? Because I didn't come to be fake. I came for the truth. Or the truth. Selfish ambition says, what can I get from her? What can I get from him to make me feel better about myself? Proverbs 19, verse 6. This is a funny one. Sorry, it's funny. Proverbs 19, 6. Let's see. Who will win? Dang it. Okay. Speeches. Dang it. Okay. Proverbs 19, it says, many entreat the favor of nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. If you're giving it away, everybody's going to come to you. If everybody's getting, you don't want it, okay? You see, it's not about just seeing what you can get from somebody. You know, everybody wants to be around somebody who's just giving gifts away. And if that gift is themselves, if that gift is their flirting, if that gift is their body, look, you don't want it. Just because it attracts people doesn't mean that's the way you should be living. So if this is who you are, if this is the way you operate, you need to stop it. Because I'll tell you this, God is an avenger of people who take advantage of others. And I'm telling you, God loves you, but it don't mean he's not going to smack you in the back of your head just so you can make it maybe to heaven. Because God cares more about your eternity than your here and now. And if he needs to get your attention in the here and now to save your eternity, he will do it. That'll preach. Anyway, I got to go on though because we're done. The last one is this. Oh, this one was, I got to show you the picture. This one was, not Miley Cyrus? Although, never mind. This one was Taylor Swift. Because I think that's so funny. Oh my gosh, Taylor Swift. Ah! Okay. The last one, God bless her. I'm praying for her though. Jesus loves her. last one is this, the surfacer. You've got the hero, the dominator, the black widow, the lady killer, the surfacer. And this would be somebody like maybe an orange or bronzed person maybe. It could possibly be. Could it be? Just because you've got a six pack don't mean you anything, okay? Me and my one pack are doing A-okay. This would be the surfacer. This is somebody who only cares on the outside. Somebody who's only after that one style, that one type. Look, man. 1 Samuel 16:7 says God doesn't look for what man looks for. Because man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. See, the problem is a lot of us, we're this and we don't even know we're this because we think we're sophisticated. Oh, I don't care what they look like. I just want the artsy guys. I want somebody with real deep. I want a deep man. That's the only thing I'm gonna. I only date older guys because these younger guys are so. They're so. No, you're surface. I'm gonna tell you this right. Look, if you're stuck on the style or the type, you're surface because you're not. You're discounting them a person already because you're looking on the outside. I want a musician. No, you don't. You're just surface. Since when does how well a man can play guitar determine how great a man he is? Because that would make me absolutely horrible because I only know one chord. You know what I'm saying? Look, don't be surface. We look on the outside. Money, status, what school, if they're on the team, if they're this way, that way, what her shape is. She got this, she got that. I like girls who you know got that. Oh, you know. Look, that's foolishness. That's surface. I don't think anybody in America wants to be, you know. I mean, I hope not. You do your hair like that, that's cool. But don't be like that. Because that's foolishness. That's trash. That's garbage. The tight, the style. No, look deeper than that. Look for what really matters. Proverbs 31, last verse, done. Shut it down because I talk too much. And you know it's true. But it's good, isn't it? Y'all better say yes. Or I'm not coming back next week. All right. Proverbs 31, verse 29 through 30 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Then it says this. This woman is amazing. She's got it all. Verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praise. Look, I'm going to be married to my wife when I'm 80 years old. And my six-pack and my hair and my face will be all nasty. My fingers be all maybe twisted and like, you know, old people, they got like those weird fingers sometimes. Be like this. But my wife's hands will be like this. And then we'll be okay. And she'd be the cutest old lady in the world. To me, I'm going to be the cutest old dude in the world. And I'll be shorter than I am now. But I'm going to tell you this. Charm fades. Beauty passes. If you want something, look. I see these dumb pictures on the internet all the time. You know, it says, I want my first marriage to be my only marriage. You know, you got like that guy who's holding the girl and he's like kissing her in the background. It's like so nasty and stuff like that. It's like, you know, those pictures and stuff on the internet and stuff like that. It's like, if you really want that, then stop looking for the wrong things and do it the right way. If you want something to last, you have to do it the right way. When you do things the wrong way, it's broken in a week. So don't do that to your heart. Don't do that to your future, because none of you guys need to go through a divorce. And none of you have to go through a divorce. You've just got to find somebody as committed as you are to doing things God's way. And no matter what problem you have, if you both commit to do things God's way, divorce is not an option. It doesn't even have to be part of your vocabulary. And that's how you avoid being a loser magnet. Do it God's way. Don't be the hero. Don't be the dominator. Don't be the black widow. Don't be the surfacer. And don't go after them. We could all find ourselves somewhere in one of those. See it, fix it, give it to the Lord. Do it God's way. If you guys got something like God, let's give him praise.